Welcome to Opera Out of the Box, unpacking opera piece by piece. I'm your host, Brad Cresswell, and today I'm joined in the studio by Joel Gorski, who is the current Toledo Opera Board president, also Trina Secor, who is a current trustee, and Ann Sanford, who is a former trustee, a current donor, and a friend of WGTE. And welcome all of you to the station. I have a little fanfare for you first.
Wow.
Don't you wish that just would follow you around wherever you go? Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us today. I want to get started with the podcast by each of you talking about your relationship with Toledo Opera and sort of, you know, introduce yourself if that's appropriate, and your history with Toledo Opera. And I do have music. I have three pieces of music here, so you can choose one, two, or what's behind the curtain at three, and it's up to you. So we'll just go in order. We'll start with Anne. What do you think, Anne? Do you want one, two, or three?
Two and a half, please.
Pretty close to that. So tell us a little bit about your relationship with Toledo Opera.
I've been involved in the opera as a performer for a long, long time. That was my first gig, was trying out for the chorus when I first moved here. It's because I always loved to sing, so I was in the chorus for a number of years and then kind of went on from there and raised some money and joined the board, and now they can't get rid of me.
Joel, let's hear from you. You want numbers one or number three?
Oh, number three, please.
Number three. Let's hear how that sounds. Oh, that's sweet. There's your sweet music.
I'm still awake.
Okay. Why don't you tell us what your relationship or your history with Toledo Opera is?
So if opera started in 1959, my mom and dad were involved in the early years. They had tickets and season tickets and would always go to the opera. One year, my father had to go on a business trip, and mom says, "Joel, would you like to join me for the opera?" I said, "Sure, let's do it." That was in about 1970. So I was about 10 years old then, and I distinctly remember going to the Masonic Auditorium at the time, dressing up, meeting all of mom and dad's friends. They had great seats kind of in the middle, about the third row back, and it was Madame Butterfly that was playing that year. So that was kind of an indoctrination into the opera, and then have followed it for years. After college, got season tickets myself, and went to it for a number of years, and then became involved in the board, and put a few years in on the board in different positions. Worked my way up to the leadership position now, and president, and very happy to work with the talented board members and staff, and just a joy helping see the opera through to further success.
Yeah, I think you've answered all of my questions, so you can leave now if you like. Joel Gorski, let's hear from Trina Secor. What is your history with Toledo Opera? And you get, I'm sorry to say,
number
one and a half, maybe. We'll hear how that sounds. That's kind of sweet, too. A little bit melancholy.
I like it.
All right. Tell us about your history with Toledo Opera.
As a teenager, I went to Toledo Opera. It was sort of out of my realm, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I loved the people that were associated with it, and I thought, I'm going to keep this in the back of my head. And then I went on to do other things, but when we moved back to Toledo, I was asked to take somebody's tickets and went back to the Toledo Opera and was just thrilled to be there again. And then I became a board member and have served on the board since 2012.
Yeah.
Long, far too long. My term's expired several times. The opera really feeds my soul in so many ways, from the scenery to the costumes and certainly to the music and the stories that operas tell.
Yeah. Was your support of the arts, was that involved with Toledo Opera, or did you support something before that? How did you become a patron of the arts, as it were? Let's go to you, Anne.
As I said before, I think as a performer, most of the performers I know don't make a lot of money, so
yeah.
you kind of go into it knowing that the art form, all art forms need support, not just the opera. But I think, you know, knowing that probably the first thing I gave to was WGTE because they had the radio
okay, you're getting
fundraising.
Applause for that.
Yay!
Bravo.
But, you know, moving back as a young adult, you start to realize that all these organizations need help.
Yeah.
Not just the social service ones, but the arts ones that make our lives worth living.
Joel, what was your pathway to becoming a supporter of the arts?
With respect to Toledo Opera, I think it was watching Mom and Dad, and they were instrumental in, I think in the mid-90s, creating a matching gift, which ended up creating the initial endowment that opera still holds and operates these days. So
that's
watching
great.
That and then wanting to be a part of that myself once I was able to, financially able to.
100%. Trina, let's hear from you. What was your pathway into becoming a supporter of the arts and Toledo Opera in particular?
The broad general answer is my great-grandparents in Toledo, Ohio, were involved with the arts, and they set the mold for me. I never knew them, but their names are plastered all over the place. And I found that really inspirational, the same with my grandparents and then my parents as well.
Yeah.
We didn't return to Toledo until we were both retired. And in doing so, we wanted to pick up where others had left off.
Yeah. Now, this is a slightly related question, but what is your first memory of Toledo Opera at all? Joel, you're nodding your head.
Madame Butterfly when I was 10 years old.
Yep. Madame Butterfly.
Yep.
Anybody else want to chime in? Anne, you want to tell us?
Mine is auditioning for Lester Friedman, who was the original conductor.
That goes way back.
Auditioning to be in the chorus.
Just last year, we should say.
Right. Yeah, I'm still 24.
Trina, do you have an early memory
of
Toledo Opera?
Yes, I do. It's a little different. I was asked to serve on the board. I came as a new board member with my spouse, and at the Valentine Theater, you were allowed to eat popcorn. And so they sold popcorn at the intermission, and my husband bought a big bag of it and brought it in, and all you could hear was the crunch of the paper and the crunch of the popcorn. And then his cell phone went off because he wasn't sure he was going to enjoy it. And he had called for a taxi, and the taxi called to say, "I'm here to pick you up, Mr. Secor." So that's my first memory. I wrote an apology then to the executive director and said I would be glad to step down, understanding that I can't bring my husband ever again to an opera. They changed the popcorn rule immediately.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the most rewarding projects or initiatives that you've been involved with in Toledo Opera? What are you most proud of? You want to jump in, Joel?
Wow, I think participating in strategic planning a few years back here, where there was a committee that was developed, and the talent on that committee did a very nice job of orchestrating a path for the future, identifying the
fun
funding.
Fun intended, right?
the funding, pun there too, the fun necessary to make that all happen and keep it going further. So that's I think, a nice accomplishment and worthy of mention.
Yeah. Anything come to mind, Trina, for you as far as projects or initiatives that you are especially proud of with Toledo
Absolutely.
Opera?
The education program is number one for me. because I come from an educational background and was involved with teaching. So carrying opera into the schools of Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan has been just a wonderful experience. And we have had a resident artist who's lived with us sometimes as many as three at one time for the academic year who participate in the production of the Opera on Wheels, which goes into the schools, takes an opera, the music as you know it, but changes the wording to be something that is socially contemporary, and it could be dealing with bullying, it could be dealing with jealousy, it could be dealing with family, it could be dealing with any number of things, and takes that, a 30-minute opera, into the public schools.
Yeah, and we did a whole episode on education, I believe, in the earlier version of the podcast. You mentioned the resident artists living in your home. We have an episode on resident artists that we did. Mm-hmm. So we're covering a lot of the spots. Anne, do you have anything that you're specifically proud of when it comes to Toledo Opera?
Mine's pretty mundane. I think being there in 07, 08, as Joel was definitely a trial and tribulation as the economy was tanking. So
yeah.
The board had to go through some real soul searching, and I was president at that time. So we had to decide whether we were going to survive or fold up the tents and quit.
Yeah.
And it was tough. It was really tough. We owed money. We had to raise a lot of money, and we made it through and came out on the other end. But
well, obviously with your help and with your leadership.
Well, I had minor to do with it, but
yeah.
But it was a tough experience for all of us.
Well, we're here, and it's a few years later, and we've survived, and Toledo Opera has certainly survived. I want to do a flash round with you, and I have a 1 minute, 30-second piece of music I want to play. And within that space, which is a long time, actually, tell us your favorite opera and why you like it, okay? Joel, I think you're going to say Madame Butterfly, but
it's like your first kiss. You never forget it.
We'll see. We'll start with you. Let me start music here. Okay. What's your favorite opera, Joel?
Yep, it's Madame Butterfly. It doesn't have the really memorable arias like some of the others, Carmen or La Boheme, but the first one you don't forget.
Yeah. So that is your answer. Okay, now we're going to switch and go over to Trina. Flash round, here we go. What's your favorite opera?
My favorite opera was one that was written very recently called I Dream. It's the story of Martin Luther King's last 36 hours of his life. It contains brilliant music by the composer and lyricist Douglas Tappan. And it's the story of how Martin Luther King chose the people in his life who would help him form his leadership style. And they included, with particular emphasis, his grandmother and his wife, Coretta.
Wow. You clock in at 54 seconds. That's pretty good. We've got Anne Sanford now as part of the flash round. Let me start the music. What is your favorite opera and why?
I'm totally in love with Faust as an opera because it's still so modern. It's a guy who sells his soul to the devil to get what he wants, and who doesn't have ideas about that? Whether you're Robert Johnson playing guitar or who, and it translates so well to modern times, and the music is just beautiful.
All right, well, I want to give applause to all of you.
Yeah. Thank you.
For joining into the flash round. I have some more questions for you. I should ask Joel because I know his answer already. What is your favorite Toledo Opera production, right? Why don't you go ahead, Joel?
Well, I got my hair cut yesterday, so Barber of Seville.
There you go.
That's my answer.
Nice. Nice. Barber of Seville.
A sing-along with Bugs Bunny.
Yeah. I mean, that was a gateway drug for those of us who didn't know classical music. That was definitely my story as a young person, hearing music on the cartoons, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep.
What about you, Anne? Let's hear from you.
I think I'd have to say Tales of Hoffman, the time, and a lot of people hated it because it was done modern. It was done in modern dress and made to be very, very modern. And yeah. I just thought it was so interesting that you can take something written a long time ago and present it as a modern tale.
Well, that's part of, you know, the magic of suspension of disbelief. I mean, you can put anything up there and maybe bring something out in the score that wasn't there before. Mm-hmm. So that's a great answer. Trina, you want to jump in and tell us about your favorite Toledo Opera production?
Yeah, I love Aida.
Yeah?
I love Aida. I love the sets. I love the costumes. I love the story.
Wow. And Toledo Opera did that, a few years ago, mm-hmm. I think, yeah. What, Jim?
2014.
That's Jim Norman, who's hovering in the background there. Let's talk about opera in general. Like, what do we like about opera? Is that, like, your favorite genre of music? Can you talk about the idea of just how opera exists today and how it exists for you and beyond Toledo Opera? Let's start with you, Anne.
I love lots of different music, so from the stuff they did at the Olympics to jazz to rock and roll, so I can't say there's one that stands far above, but opera, I think, has the deepest emotion of any of those art forms, so when you have the visual as well as the auditory, you just feel more because you see what's going on. And when people are live in front of you, you're not watching them on a screen. You're watching something that is apparently going on in real life. So,
yeah. It's interesting that you point out the difference between live and maybe seeing it through the venue of a screen or something like that. I think there's nothing that can replace a live performance.
I agree.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Trina, do you have a feeling about opera in general? You know, what do you like about it? And do you listen to other music as well?
I love opera because it tells a story, and the story is usually tragic. But it's kind of soap opera-like.
Yeah.
And I like that direction that music takes.
Yeah.
And I like classical opera as well as modern opera. I like other forms of music. We happen to have a son who has a band called Old Crow Medicine Show, and I like old-time string music, which is what his genre is.
Yeah. Well, you don't have a choice. I mean, he's part of the family, so you have to...
Oh, there were times when he was learning what genre he was choosing, and I did not like them, so I wore earplugs around the house.
Yeah, but no earplugs now. That's great. Joel? We're saving you for last.
Yeah. What draws me to opera are the sets, the gorgeous sets, the elaborate costumes, the beautiful voices, the emotion that the performers bring. You know, where are you going to find anything like that elsewhere?
Yeah.
It's tough to go to a rock concert, you know, even with good lights and other things happening on stage. It's just not the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, just the idea of somebody singing the way they are asked to sing in a theater, you know, is different than what we're used to, hearing everything through the filter of, you know, technology. And this is an art form that has been with us for centuries, and it really hasn't changed as far as what grand opera brings to the table. You know, it's a wonderful genre of music, but I'm a little biased.
What's your favorite opera, Brad?
My favorite opera would probably be Otello, first of all, because it has Shakespeare, and it has Verdi, and it's so, you know, the whole drama is presented in such a straightforward and melodic way. It's really, I think, a great, great opera. But then, you know, my answer was always, when I was an opera singer myself, my answer was always the one that pays the most, or the one that I'm doing now.
The one you're doing, yeah.
Yeah, that was my favorite. Has your support of Toledo Opera, has it influenced your personal life? We've talked about that a little bit, but your professional life, has it had any impact on you, Trina?
I really have to stop to think about that, because I can't think of an area in my life where I haven't had conversations about opera.
Yeah.
Beyond that, just the enjoyment of it, and we see it in places in addition to Toledo.
Yeah. Does anybody else want to chime in with a comment on that?
I drugged my kids to dress rehearsals for years, and so whether they wanted to go or not, but I think now they're glad they did go and had the exposure.
Joel, do you feel like being an opera conoscente, as it were, has affected your life in one way or the other?
Yeah, I wish, number one, I was more knowledgeable about opera in general. I mean, there's some facts and figures that it's...
We have a podcast for that, by the way.
Good. Very complicated art form. You know, I think the time spent even outside of attending a performance, it's going to Opera Guild luncheons, it's going to Sapphire Balls, it's attending opera board meetings. There's a lot of time spent outside of watching an actual performance that I just find very enjoyable.
Well, that segues nicely into the next question I have. It's actually a flash round, so let me get our little flash round. That was our bell to let us know. Flash round is coming up. So I'll play the music again, but I want you to tell us about your favorite Toledo opera memory, and let's go away from watching an opera specifically. Let's keep it like a memory that you have of something peripheral to Toledo opera, maybe the Guild or something like that, right? I'll start the music, and we'll start with you, Joel.
All right, I'm going to have to turn and ask Jim. There was I believe it was a Sapphire Ball where we had a very large cake made by the famous cake maker over in Sandusky. Do you remember?
Rendy Cromer.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That cake was gorgeous. It was almost as tall as I was. And what a fun event. Very special. Everybody got cake and ate it too.
That's good. All right, let's go with you, Trina.
Well, I'm going to default to the watching because my seats enable me to participate in watching the orchestra. And that, to me, is just fascinating.
Right. You watch a conductor, too?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that we singers learn right away. We have to watch a conductor. And you have a favorite memory you want to talk about?
Oh, I've got so many of them. One of them is having a resident artist and becoming really great friends with her, to the point where she just hung out with me the whole time she was there, and we did things together. And somebody was looking for a singer for the boxing competition, so I got her. I made her go sing for the boxing competition. So here's all these people who've never heard an opera singer in their lives, and they got to hear her sing the Star Spangled Banner. I thought that was really great.
Well, we made it. We managed to do the entire flash round in a minute 30, so that was good.
Wow.
And we all did that. So let's talk about the future of opera and the arts and patronage, and how do we get people involved in that. Let's talk a little bit about how do you think you are influencing the next generation of people who will support opera? Let's start with you, Trina.
One of the things that the executive director and many board members were involved with was the start of community engagement opportunities. And this started with, it started with iDream, when we brought in studies for all ages about Martin Luther King, about the social injustice at that time, about movements in Toledo, about his coming to Toledo and speaking very shortly before he died. And that, to me, is of real value to Toledo Opera and to future audiences. And we garnered lots of new patrons, new volunteers, and new members to Toledo Opera as a result of community engagement. When we did, what's the one with the horses in it, Jim?
Ballad of Baby Doe.
Thank you. That had all kinds of financial opportunities, learning opportunities, and the banks in Toledo became involved, and we had classes for people who didn't know anything about banking, et cetera. So community outreach and engagement has been really vital to my recent experience in Toledo Opera.
Well, I want to ask you a little bit more about community engagement in just a moment, but I want to hear from both Anne and Joel about how we create the next generation of people who support the arts, because it doesn't seem to be as popular a thing as it used to be. What do you have, Joel?
Well, Toledo Opera goes out and puts on modified performances for young school children, opera on wheels. And they are in front of thousands of children every year in the Toledo area. 22,000 children every year. That's just, you know, that's amazing.
And, yeah.
And what a great way to introduce them to this art form. Modified sets, decent costumes, great voices. And so if we... What we've heard from these students and their teachers are that they really enjoy the opportunity to see this, to learn about opera, and hopefully that installs a love of opera that they will carry forward for years and attend shows and support the art form.
Yeah. Do you have something to add to that, Anne?
Well, along those same lines, if you ever get a chance to be at the Valentine and see the kids get off the school bus, the high schoolers, for the dress rehearsal night, you would think it was their prom. I mean, they are dressed up, they are so excited, and I think they're not a bad audience. I mean, they really watch and they really appreciate what's going on. So super titles have changed so much.
Yeah.
In opera, the fact that you can actually watch and read the words and know what's going on rather than have to be a cognoscenti and know,
yeah.
You know, beforehand the plot and what they're saying to each other. So you can get all the jokes.
The super titles are always on whatever I watch. So, you know.
Me too. Me too.
Captions, I guess I should say. The
yeah.
Captions are on. So we're used to that. Let's talk about community engagement again. Now, what is the role of community engagement in the arts, and where does Toledo Opera fit into that? I think I have an idea. I mean, they do a lot of stuff with the community. I wonder if you want to talk about your experience with Toledo Opera as it reaches out to other people. Maybe, Joel, you want to mention something?
Well, community engagement is intended to help introduce the art form to just a wide variety of audiences that may not have been exposed to it before.
Right.
So getting them to participate in discussions and getting them to attend their first performance, hopefully again installing a love for the art form that will carry through to becoming season ticket holders and
yeah.
Really enjoy the opportunity that we have here in Toledo for Toledo Opera.
Trina, do you have anything else that you want to say about Toledo Opera in particular with their programs that they go out into the community?
I think it has expanded our audience tremendously. We have a new committee that we've had a new committee on the board for some time now, which represent individuals who have never been exposed to opera before. And they've gotten very involved learning about opera. And we have learned a lot from them as well.
Mm-hmm.
One example of that was when one of the members of this committee suggested that none of the ushers looked like her.
Mm.
That changed things for us.
Yeah, yeah. Anne, do you want to talk about that?
Well, I think just getting singers out in the public, whether it's at a boxing match or it's the farmer's market or a park in the summer, there are so many people that haven't heard opera. And if one person from one of those events says, I'd like to know more about what that singer was doing, I think we've conquered the world.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a final question here. Now, if you could wave a magic wand and make anything happen that you want, what would you change about our community or the world in general when it comes to the arts? What do you think is important for people to focus on nowadays? You want to talk, Joel?
I think beginning with the ticket sales, they generate only a third of the revenue necessary to put the opera on.
Mm.
And so, you know, to make sure we have demand coming in the door to pay for ticket sales is I think, the first aspect of keeping it successful into the future. Secondly, let's recognize that there have to be donations that come in as well to help support that art form. And those that really love the art form, we've lost many of them in the last few years, and that decreases the income on the donation side. So encouraging people who love it to continue to support the art form, and that's really the only way that it's going to stay around in the future.
Yeah, you sound just like I do on one of our pledge drives, right?
Yes, exactly.
And you want to say anything about that?
I think people need to realize how special Toledo Opera is. I mean, how many towns of our size in the Midwest, not in the East or West Coast, have an opera that is as good as ours? I don't know of any. So people need to be proud of this thing, whether they like it or not. I mean, I give money to things that I don't go to because I think they're important for Toledo. They're important to maintain mm-hmm. our status, to attract people that want to live here and work here. I mean, I personally know a couple of doctors who have come here. They chose to come here because we had Toledo Opera. That was a big factor in their decision. So uh-huh. if you want your community to have good health care, maybe you need to give money to the opera.
Yeah, well, the arts provide certainly employment for a lot of people and provide a significant part of the economy, even in our area, in our mm-hmm. community. Trina, if we give you the last word, what do you want to say? If you could wave a magic wand and change things to your tastes, what would you do?
I would never change them to my tastes. I would suggest that there are many, there is a lot that we can be patrons of in the world, as Anne has just suggested and Joel so well described as well, that change the attitude of a community. The arts are important for so many reasons, not just the performance, not just the costumes, but the interactions and the relationships that develop through working together on a project, on a piece, on a act, on a song. And we just need much more of that in our own community. We have lots going on in Toledo that's good. Yeah. Toledo Opera is among the best.
Absolutely. I want to thank all three of you for coming in today, Anne Sanford and Joel Gorski and Trina Secor. Thank you so much for joining us for Opera Out of the Box.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
You've been listening to Opera Out of the Box, a co-production of WGTE Public Media and Toledo Opera. You can find previous episodes online at our website, wgte.org. And of course, you can dive into all things Toledo Opera at their website, toledoopera.org. I want to thank my guests once more, Joel Gorski, Trina Secor, and Anne Sanford. I'm your host, Brad Cresswell, and thanks for joining us today on Opera Out of the Box.